Well, we got fresh batteries, so that's good news and bad news, isn't it? I'll let y'all figure that out. I'll just do what I'm supposed to do, and we'll just let the chips fall. How about that? Aren't you glad to be here?
Amen.
Amen. If you've got your Bibles, turn, if you would, to 3 John chapter 1, verse 2. 3 John chapter 1, verse 2. Since we last met, not one, but two Georgia teams have been beat.
We're not over yet.
No, we're not. The altar's open. Even during the message, the altar's open. You know, since we last met, probably half of the New Year's resolutions that have been made from the Rose Bowl on are gone by the wayside, right? Right about half of them, according to statistics, could be as many as 80% in the first month. So every year people do this, and they make resolutions. They talk about things that they like to change in their life. It's good that we have a time that we can sit and take inventory, right? In fact, the Word of God says that we should judge ourselves all the time. Not just on the first of the year, but all the time. So with God, we have that ability to do it all the time. But you know, it's fixed on the calendar, and it's something that is a reminder for us. Nothing wrong with that stuff. But sometimes it's all in how you word something. Sometimes it's all in how you word something that will make it effective for you. Because how you say something really does matter. You know, the Word of God says to tell the truth. But if I'm in your face and I tell you the truth about something and I'm rude about it, there's really... unless it's just a unique moment, you're probably not going to receive any of that. You know, because your defense is going to go up because of how I put something or how it was received or how it was heard. And because of that, you're going to reject it, even if it's truth. But the Word of God says to speak the truth in love. I was talking to a friend of mine last week, and he said, it was after Christmas, and he said, you know, a few months ago, my wife and I didn't decide to do any kind of dieting or anything. He said, we just got together, and we just decided that we were going to eat healthier. See the difference? Diet or eat better. You know, there's a big difference. One of them gives you a vision of celery stalks and water all the time. One of them gives you an image of energy, of strength, of a lot more balance of food, stuff like that. And he said, because of that, we've done better. And you know what I found when people go on a diet, and I know somebody personally that lost 25 pounds last year, chronicled their journey on Facebook, did a great job. And all they did basically was eat better. And they lost all this weight. Well, when you diet, one of the catches to that is once you hit that goal, the boomerang happens. Because you've attained the goal, and now you stop. But again, it's all in how you word it. What do you want to? I'm on a diet to lose 25 pounds. Okay, what are you going to do when you get to 25? Are you going to stop? Or are you going to continue with the habits that got you there? So the question that I have this morning is, in 2017, was your life everything that you'd hoped it was? The areas in your life that you can change, are you satisfied with those areas? And if not, what are you going to do different now than you did the last 12 months? Because you'd be amazed at how many people continually do the same things. And they continually expect things to be different. And you've heard that definition. It's been said so many times, it almost just flies right over our head. Doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a different result is insane. It really is. But most of us do it all the time. Man, I wish I would be out of debt. What are you doing? Well, I wish I was more healthy. I wish I didn't have to take this medication. I wish I didn't have to buy these bigger pants. Well, what are you doing? I wish I felt better. I wish I wasn't so tired all the time. What are you going to do? Because there's always a reason. You know, one of the cop-outs to a lot of Christians that don't want to change or do anything is, well, you know what? I believe that there's a reason for everything. Everything happens for a reason. Yes, that's true. But it's not from the point of view that you look at it. Because that right there just absolves me from all responsibility and says, you know what? God is in control. And no matter what I do, he's just going to do what he does. No, that's not true. Caleb got it right in the ear. That's not true. He's normally over there, so he's getting a good dose. Some spit's going to be flying, son. You'll be all right. You got your soap with you. You're good. But we don't like to do things different, even in the church. Churches have split over things being done differently. And the things that are being done differently have the motive to reach a culture that wasn't here when they first started doing what they were doing. So it's all about eternity, but churches have actually split because they don't want to change, even though people are dying. Even though people aren't growing, even though people are dying and going to hell, they don't want to change. But some of our lives are going there too. And what we say is, everything happens for a reason. I guess this is my lot. According to the scriptures, he wants to prosper us. Does your life look like it's prospering in every area that you think it should? Now, prospering doesn't mean you have $1 billion. God does bless people like that, but comes with greater everything, including money, comes greater responsibility. Not just attend that money, but God's going to call on that money. The greater the gift, God's going to call on that. Are you ready to cash it? Are you ready to let go of some of that? It could be that some of us don't have what we want because we're not ready. We're not ready to give it out. And God knows that. But everything happens for a reason. Yes, a lot of times the things that happen, they happen because we're not doing the right thing. If we don't walk in forgiveness, we're not going to receive forgiveness. That's Bible 101. Jesus said, if you don't forgive, the Father will not forgive you. Everything happens for a reason. Nobody seems to give me a break. Nobody seems to look over stuff like I look over with them. Well, if they're not looking over stuff with you, there's a real good chance you're not looking over stuff with them. Reaping and sowing is a law of the kingdom. And a law is in effect no matter who does it or who doesn't, or it's supposed to be unless you're a politician, right? Had to put that in there on 2018. That'll be the last one that I do the whole year. Yeah, right. But you know what I'm saying? The great thing about the law of God is just like we were singing, it doesn't matter if you're rich or poor. If you do it, you prosper. If you do it, you prosper. In fact, listen to what he says right here where we've turned 20 minutes ago, right? 3 John chapter 1 and verse 2. He says this, "Dear friend, I pray that you may enjoy good health and that all may go well with you, even as your soul is getting along well." Now think about what he says right there. He says that I pray that you may enjoy good health and that all may go well with you, even as your soul is getting along. He says, it's my prayer that everything in your life go well, go good. I pray that you're blessed. One translation says this, I pray that in all respects, that you may prosper and be in good health just as your soul prospers. The title of this series is called That You May Prosper. That you may prosper. That's God's will for your life. And I know a lot of people, if they're brought up in the wrong environment, like that class that Amy's going to be teaching over the next several weeks that you need to get into, if you're brought into the wrong environment, if you're brought up in that environment, then you don't believe that this is true for you. But it is if you're born again, because God said it, and he didn't say unless you're Patrick. He didn't say unless you're Bill or unless you're Susie, unless you were born on this side of the tracks or in this city or in this county, or unless you didn't, if you went to this school or if you didn't go to college or if you didn't get your master's. Listen, God has the ability to bless the socks off of somebody that didn't even graduate high school. Amen. Now, I don't encourage you to do that, but that's the power of God. If you seek him, he said, you'll find him and he will show you great and mighty things that you don't know. And that nobody else will know either. He's God. He has that ability. So if that's the case, if your life doesn't look like you thought or hoped it should, if there's areas of your life that doesn't look like the blessing of God is on that, you're not walking in the peace of God, then what are you willing to do to change it? Because the Bible says that the latter days of the house will be greater than the former days. And I understand it was talking about the temple, it was talking about the church, but you know what? You're the temple. You're the church. The latter days shall be greater than the former. And in this place, it says, you shall have peace. A lot of folks don't have peace because they're not living the way that God has called them to live, and it affects the rest or other areas of their life. There's a lack of peace. You try walking into somebody's house and just listening to the conversation in marriage when there's no money any month of the year in their account. There's no joy in Mudville at all. They could be Christians, and there's no joy in Mudville. There's no peace. Why? Because there's a strain and there's stress from not having enough. What are you willing to do differently? Because what you're doing now is not working. Now, I understand that there are seasons in our life where God walks us through the desert. Okay? I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about everyday stuff to where we as Christians aren't doing what God has called us to do, and because of that, we're not prospering. If your life doesn't look like you think it should, if it doesn't look like what this book says, what are you willing to do about it this year? What changes are you willing to make? Because I can tell you, if you don't do anything, it's going to get worse. At best, it'll stay the same, but it's going to get worse. Do you want to live the rest of your life the way that you're living right now? Do you want your kids to live like that? Because there's a real good chance that as they're brought up, they're going to do. If you're a big spender, if you're one that flies off the handle all the time, if you're the one that says and does things you shouldn't say and do, guess what? They're watching, and it doesn't matter what you preach. It matters what you do. What about your job? What about your finances? What about your marriage? What about all that stuff? We're going to talk about that in later weeks, but God says that the latter days shall be greater than the former. God's plan is for us to prosper. You know, and one of the things that really gets us so many times is it's not big issues that cause all this. The word says it's the little foxes that spoil the vine. It's little things. And you can bring it down into the natural. Your car, for example. If your car is out of alignment, it'll still drive, right? For a while, it'll still drive. But there's something wrong. And because there's something wrong, it needs to be fixed, or you're going to pay a price sooner than what you need to, right? Sooner than what you need to. Well, what happens if your car is out of alignment? Well, your front tires or your back tires, a lot of them have four-wheel alignments now. But if they're out of alignment, sometimes I'll point to the kids and Lisa when we're going down the highway or something. You're behind a car and their back wheels are out like this. And you're like, brother, You're living on faith, man. I mean, you are living on faith. Why is that? Well, the tire's still on it. The tire's still on the ground. What's wrong? Well, this much of the tread's touching the pavement when there's supposed to be this much on each side, or this much, depending on what truck you're in. Nathan the Great, he's got a big old jacked up truck. Tires are this big. So he's got, you know, there's a reason that there's that much rubber supposed to be on the road. They've done studies on this. They've had a research and development team that does research on this. It's safer for you to have contact the way that you need to on the road. You can drive with it out of alignment, but it's dangerous. It's dangerous. Number one, you're going to wear out your tires a lot faster because all the weight of that thing, all the weight is on a section that isn't designed to bear it. And for some of us, we're out of alignment. And all the weight is on something that's not supposed to hold it. And you may be getting by, but you're going to have to pay pretty soon. And if you ignore it, you run the risk of getting hurt. Because what happens is, they call that uneven wear. What happens is that tread, even if it's good for a little while, it's on the pavement. And when it's raining, it's not displacing the water the way that it should. And because it's not displacing the water the way that it should, it's squirting the water out that it can to the side. And whatever part of the tire that's not on the road is now a bigger section or a thicker section of water between the road and rubber. Boy, y'all didn't know I knew this stuff, did you? And because of that, you can hide your plane. You can hide your plane, wreck the car, wreck you. Same thing true with the back. You know, your back gets out of alignment. Your spine gets out of alignment. And when it does, you feel it. But you can ignore it, and you can take Advil, right? But until that's fixed, you're going to have to keep taking Advil. Advil's not good for you for long periods of time, right? We already know that. Liver goes to pot and all that stuff. But why would I keep taking medication for something that I can get fixed? A lot of us are taking medication for stuff that we're in pain about, but we're just taking the medication, and all we have to do is get the adjustment. All we have to do is adjust it, because in my spine, depending on where it's out, will cause me different pain. You know, and you don't have to do anything. That's the thing. In life, a lot of times, you don't have to do much to get out of alignment with what God would have you to be and how He would have you to live. And because of that, it will affect you. I can wake up in the morning sometimes. And the way that I sleep sometimes, that you don't have any control over, by the way, in the middle of the night. You know, if I wake up with my head in my pillow like that, because I got in a car wreck several years ago when I was 20 years old and didn't go to the chiropractor, because of that, if I wake up like that, I'll have a migraine that day. Unless I can get my chiropractor to pop that thing back in. If I get it popped back in, I'm good. But if not, I've got to take some migraine medicine, and it ruins my whole day. And see, the thing is, if you're out of alignment in some stuff in your life, it can ruin everything else. Because if I've got a migraine, I don't listen to music to audition like I normally would with the same spirit that I need to. So over the years, I found out, you know what, if I've got a migraine, I don't even audition music, because I'm not going to give that artist the right spirit that I need to listen to that song. Because if I've got a migraine and it seems to me like it's blaring, which everything does when you've got one, it's a no. And if I didn't have one, it could be a yes. So it makes a difference, right? So it'll affect me there. It'll affect my appetite. You feel sick all the time when you've got a migraine. Last thing you want to do most of the time is eat. It affects your relationships with people that are around you that day. You're short-tempered. You're quick to shut people down, or you're quick to not even say anything. Just recluse yourself from every conversation and go home if you can. So it affects you. If it's a little bit further down right here, you can have a pinched nerve to where your fingers are numb and your arm will go dead over time if it's not dealt with. Now look, most of the time you already know it's out, but you're thinking it's going to go away on its own, but it won't. It has to be adjusted. And when it's adjusted, we operate in optimum health. And if it's low enough and it's severe enough, or even high enough and severe enough, it'll make it to where you're an invalid and you can't do anything. And unfortunately, that's where a lot of Christians are. You've been out of whack so long, and it's so severe that you need people to help you all the time to do basic things. Do basic things spiritually, but also to do basic things in the natural. You know, the word says that when I was a child, I thought and I reasoned like a child, but when I was a man, I put away childish things. A lot of people still aren't where they need to be spiritually and in the natural, even though they're old enough, because they're so out of adjustment. They can't do anything. They don't feel anything. They can't, they're limp. They don't have any, the muscle structure is gone. There's nothing that can allow them to hold anything up. So the body of Christ comes by and does what they can to help. But until the adjustment's made, nothing's going to get fixed. There's a lot of things medication is good for, but there's a lot of things medication won't work on. And that's what we're going to talk about over these next several weeks. But if you've got your Bibles open, turn, if you would, to Matthew chapter 22. You know, like I said, it doesn't take much to cause issues. The word says that it's the little foxes that spoil the vine, but it also says that a little bit of yeast will work itself through the whole dough. A little bit of yeast will work itself through the whole loaf of bread. A little bit of the wrong thing can work itself into the rest of your decisions, the rest of the decision-making process that you make, the rest of the things that you do. But there's three things that we're going to talk about in the first part of the series. Not going to get to all three of them today. Thought we would, but we're not. We'll get through this first one probably. And I call them three firsts. You could title this message what this says here, first things first, but I'm not going to title it that. It's that you may prosper. But there's some things that we need to do first that the scripture says very adamantly. It talks about first do this, first do that. If God says first, then that's first, right? So in Matthew chapter 22, verse 37, it says this. Going back to verse 34, it says, hearing that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees and Pharisees got together. And one of them, an expert in the law, tested him with this question, which is the greatest commandment in the law? And Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. That's what he said. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. You can't love God without knowing Jesus. 101 Christianity, if you don't have this right, you can't expect to walk in the blessing of God. You've got to be born again, okay? To receive the promises of God, according to Scripture, all of the promises are yes and amen in Christ. In Christ. In Christ. All of these are found in Christ. Talked to a guy the other day, and he said, or the other week, and he said, you know, he said, I believe that Jesus lived on this earth, and I believe what he said. He said, but I'm just not too sure about this God guy. I said, you know, he talked about his dad a lot. Where did Jesus come from? Who was he talking about when he said the Father? Who was he talking about when he said, there's no other way to God the Father except through me? He didn't have an answer for that. But you see, he's being deceived by a lying spirit. He's got one foot in and thinks he's okay. But Jesus said, there's only one way to God the Father, and that's through me. Acts chapter 4, we already talked about earlier this morning, that salvation is found in no one else. There is no other name under heaven given to men that we must be saved. And that scripture that we talked about, that opening scripture, let me read it for you again. You don't have to turn back. I'm going to go ahead and read it for you again. He says, I pray that you may enjoy good health and that all may go well with you, or that you may prosper and be in good health, even, you remember what it says? As your soul prospers. What he's saying is, I'm praying that God not bless you outwardly at a higher rate than what he's blessing you inwardly. That's a big deal. He says, I don't want you to be any more blessed on the outside than you are on the inside. In other words, how can your soul be blessed if you don't know the owner of it? How can your soul be blessed if you don't know the maker of it? How can your soul be blessed if you don't know the one who died for it? How can it be? He says, look, I hope it's my prayer that you're in health and everything in your life be blessed as you're blessed in him, as you walk in him. So you've got to be born again. First things first. The first thing is that you've got to be born again. What's the first and greatest commandment? You've got to love God. You've got to be born again. And then it goes on to say this in Matthew 22:39. He says this. This in 38, he says, this is the first and the greatest commandment. And the second one is like what? The first. And he says, love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. So he says two first there. Love God with everything in you and love people as you love you. Look out for people as you would look out for you. If there's something going on that they need to know about, tell them. I've seen people post on Facebook. I've had people ask me, hey, if you knew that somebody's child was on drugs, would you tell them? Would you want to know? Well, yeah, but. Well, then tell them. Tell them. Well, if you knew their son was an alcoholic or he was skipping class in college and he was actually out of school and they were still thinking that he was in college, would you tell his parents? Would you want to know? Well, yeah. Well, then tell them. Love others as you love you. Those are just two things, topical, that we're talking about. But Jesus says, look, the second one is like the first one. So there's two first. Look, a lot of folks say, man, I just can't, I love God. I love Jesus, but man, I just can't bring myself to love folks. You know what, that sounds cute. And that sounds funny. But I don't think anybody in heaven's smiling. because Jesus said it's the second greatest command. And I also have a hard time thinking and believing that if you willingly and knowingly on purpose violate that, I have a hard time believing you're going to walk in the blessing of God. Now, ignorance is one thing, but you know what? We need each other. I don't know if you know that or not, but we need each other. Sure, we need God, but you know what? When God came down in the flesh, guess what? He needed people. Yes, he did. He needed people to accomplish his will. He needed people to help spread his message. He needed Judas to bring him at the Passover to the cross. Had it not been for Judas, it would have thrown a kink in the whole plan. He needed even a devil, somebody influenced by the devil, to prosper us and to help us. Abraham needed Sarah. Moses needed Aaron. Paul needed Barnabas. Paul needed Ananias. And the list goes on and on. The disciples needed each other. The disciples need, we're all in this together. And you can't, and I can't, walk in the purpose of God for our lives individually without other people. And God will use people beside you and beside me to bless you in your life too. Look at Boaz. Look at Abraham. Look at Moses. The Israelites, Moses, who are you? Brother, I don't look like it, but I'm your deliverer. I'm telling you. I know it's crazy, but I'm telling you what God told me, and we're going to get out of this place. And you're going to be in a land that you've never known before. The blessing of God. Well, I don't know about all that. We need each other. First and greatest command is to love God, and you can't love people if you don't love God. You can't love God if you don't know Jesus. You can't love folks that are around you and that God sends in your life unless you know him. Unless you do. Please stand. Didn't get as far as I wanted this morning, but that's okay. You're not an island, and you're not supposed to do it alone. Relationships are God's gift to the body of Christ. And it could be that a lot of things aren't right in your life because, just to be frank, a lot of things in your life aren't right with heaven. Your relationship with heaven will affect your earth. I'll say that again. Your relationship with heaven will affect the horizontal relationships that you have on the earth. If it doesn't, there's something wrong. There's something wrong. It should affect your relationships on earth. So if you don't know Jesus, you can know him this morning. If you've never asked him to be your Lord and Savior, the first step to you having the best days of your life, not just in 2018, but beyond, are with him. The second thing is, if you keep doing the same things that you keep doing and have been doing, how is anything going to change? So if you have done it in your own strength, and you said, you know what, I don't need God, look at your life and take inventory. The Word of God says that wisdom is known by her children. In other words, that's a fancy way of saying that if something's wise, you'll see the fruit that it's produced. What kind of fruit has been produced? What kind of fruit has been produced in your life? What is going on? Why are you here this morning? If everything's great, why are you here? It's God ordained. Ask him to forgive you of your sin. Acknowledge it. You're a sinner. I'll be the first one to tell you. You're a sinner, just like me. And just like the people to your right and to your left, to your front and back, you're a sinner. That's why he came. He came just for you. Ask him to save you. Ask him to forgive you of your sins. Ask him to come into your heart. Make him your Lord and Savior and follow him. Follow his leading and instruction. Follow his example, and you'll walk in the blessing of God. But for some of you, you're going to heaven, but you don't like people. Well, you got to get over that because heaven's full of them. If you can't get along with the 120 that are here, what are you going to do with the billions? And you ain't going to have 20 acres and a mansion up there. You're going to live in a cul-de-sac. Especially if you got problems with people, because God's going to put you probably in a townhouse. Okay? And I'll just walk by with Dan and I'll say, brother, I tried to tell you. Hey, you made it. Praise God. But I tried to tell you, you know. We're having a cookout at our house. Come see us, you know. But all kidding aside, it's serious, because at the very least, it'll ruin your witness. But God has people around you to help you, to encourage you, and also to bless you, and also to bring you into the purpose that he has for your life. And if you don't like people, pray to God that he gives you a love for him, because that's his will and he'll do it. I'll be the first one to tell you, there's a lot of people it's hard to like. It's true. We're all a mess, but you know what? So are you. We're all a mess. You know, I'm not perfect. Ask Lisa. I know that's hard to believe, but ask Lisa. But we all need Jesus, but we all need each other. Okay? God created the church for a reason. All right, Mark?